I'm delighted to greet you in the name of the Lord and on behalf of Bosque Del Baptist Church. As most of you know who are on our Bosque Del website here, I'm the church's pastor, Stephen Combs. You have joined us, and thank you for that, for the time of how we're doing our Sunday worship during this can't-be-together-in-the-church-building time. I've received word that in Illinois we may be still kept out of Sunday worship in our churches until the end of June. If so, please continue to join us here. And here's a special announcement. Next Sunday, May 31st, there will be a couple of us, me and one or two others, at the Bosque Del Church parking lot starting at 9:30 in the morning. We have new copies of The Secret Place, that's the daily devotional booklet, and the June Church newsletter. We would like for you to have those both and invite you to come by and pick up both. I would really like to see you too. Don't forget, I'll also put a reminder on the Sunday message for that Sunday, so you'll get that. That is, if you tune in early. I'll probably stay on the parking lot for most of an hour. Our two hymns will be coming up shortly as a part of the service. Hymns for this Sunday are Breathe on Me, Breath of God. It's an old and treasured hymn. And second, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit. When I get to the message, The Spirit of the Lord, you will easily see why the why for these two choices. After we begin the service, we get to our congregational prayer time. I'm going to move that to right now. Once again, I'll say to all of you, if you have requests for prayer by our church body, please let me know weekly. Well, join me now for our prayers together. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings we have all received, with special thanks for those of this week that are fresh on our minds. We are always amazed. Here you are, the creator of all of the unfathomable universe, hearing prayers from all over our planet, and we fully believe you are listening and want to listen to us as a church and as individuals of this small area of Southern Illinois. Thank you for loving us and wanting the best for us. Help us to always accept your blessings and recognize that they are from you, Lord. We had enough to eat this week, and we thank you. Lord God, almost all of us, really, probably all of us, failed to follow and do your will at times this week. We sinned. But you came to us as the Messianic Son and gave your life on a torturous cross, died as the one ransom we need for your forgiveness for each and every sin. And thus, we are saved. Father God, we could go on and will on our own later, talking to you about your greatness and our unworthiness, and so we'll say, you know our hearts. It is our privilege to petition you, Lord, for the needs of others. Hear us, we pray, for members and friends of Bosque Del, dear people who we feel privileged to pray for. Touch their needs, all of them, Lord, and we pray that they will know as you touch them. Today, we pray a special prayer for our beloved deacon leader, Effie, as she has traveled to spend some time with her daughter, Patty, awaiting surgery sometime in June. And bless Patty and her family as they await this. And we pray a special prayer for Marianne Stotler's sister, Janice Leggins, and Janice's daughter, Dawn, who was taken for hospital care this week in St. Louis. And you know, and we know the many of our blessed membership who are in our personal prayers daily and weekly. Continue, we ask, your watch care and blessings for them. And as always in this troubled time, there are so many, most of whom we do not know personally, but we care about as your created and loved persons. Our prayers are for these deeply touched with health-wise. And it is with this pervasive and puzzling worldwide virus. We pray for the medical caregivers, for those who are allowed to work and are working daily to help us all with our needs, and for those who are not allowed to work and yet are bravely trying to have ends meet for their families. We do pray, Lord, that ways will be found soon for many of those common things we had, well, we've just been taking for granted. And we pray that they will move back toward a normal and then have us appreciate the great life we have had in this God bless nation. This weekend and Monday, Father, we as a country celebrate yearly the time called Memorial Day. We have been blessed to have so many step forward in defense of our way of life by serving in our protective military. And so many lost their lives in times of conflict, and they fought for us willingly. Bless our memory of the families of those over several centuries who lost loved ones to the ravages of war times. We thank you for Memorial Day and all that it represents to us. Bless us and keep us, Lord, and we'll give you all the honor and all the glory. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we now come to the time for the Sunday service for May 24th, I'll tell you once again the title of the message a little later is The Spirit of the Lord. At Boskydale, we begin each Sunday service by invoking the presence of the Lord to be uppermost in our minds and hearts, and we call it the invocation. It's a prayer, and we've just had a lengthy prayer, but this prayer is important to us to heighten our awareness of the presence of God. So join me for the invocation. Lord, we come before you right now, and we thank you that Jesus was always right. May your Holy Spirit help us to follow Jesus closely. And interspersed in our worship, we love to sing the great hymns of faith. Here are the words, and I urge you to sing along if you will. The first one is, Breathe on me, breath of God. It's short, so we're using two verses today. The words, Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will thy will to do and to endure. The second hymn is more of a populist hymn, but one we all like to sing. With the message today on the Holy Spirit and the breath of God often referred to as the Holy Spirit, this second hymn names the Spirit and His presence. The words, There's a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, you're right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Once again, today's message for Bosquedale Baptist Church is The Spirit of the Lord. It's May 24th, 2020. This is Memorial Sunday. And our scripture for this message is some great insights from three of the four gospel writers, Mark, Luke, and John. I invite you, as I do each week, to have your own Bible open now and read with me these three passages. Write them down if you can't turn to them quickly enough, and then you can go back and read them. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. And John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. And I'm reading today from the New King James Version. It's an update of the beloved King James Version, and it's in more of today's language. So the first scripture is Mark 1, 9 through 11. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Second scripture is from Luke, the fourth chapter, the 14th through the 19th verses. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all of the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And what he's reading there is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And then John, the 14th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And as I say, when we're at the church, after I've finished the scripture reading, I say, and may the Lord bless the reading and our hearing of your holy word. As I believe you just heard with the readings from three of the four Gospels, the earthly ministry of Jesus was filled all the way through his life with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's not even the beginning of the ties of Jesus with and his relationship to the Holy Spirit. To go to the beginning of such, you would have to be instructed by the greatest theologian who has ever lived. And who would that be? I have no idea, except to say, really, no one has ever reached that plateau of theological greatness, the greatest who ever lived. You see, that person would have to explain some things no one has ever explained. Well, such as, explain the conceiving of a child by a human woman, not by a human male, but through the Holy Spirit. A baby that turned out to be holy God and holy man. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. And that true story is told in Luke chapter 1. And although the Spirit is not said to be present at the time, what the Spirit did that was announcing to Mary by Gabriel, the conceiving of a special son by her, had been foretold centuries before by the prophet Isaiah. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's in Isaiah 7. You see, we know those Son-Spirit relationships as God being the Trinitarian God. But we surely can't fully explain that, the Trinity, either. So I'll just stop trying to explain and say, by faith we believe. When Jesus returned to Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry, see, that's moving from the scripture we read in Mark 1 over to the scripture in Luke 4. He was given the privilege on the Sabbath of reading a scroll of scripture. And he selected a messianic passage from Isaiah that revealed the nature and scope of the ministry that he, as the Messiah, would be fulfilling. He began to read where it is declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Well, this was more than just a place to begin reading from the scroll. It was a proclamation to the effect that his messianic ministry was being made possible right then and there by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. See, if anyone there in Nazareth had been at his baptism, they could have already known that. Or if that person had spent 40 days with Jesus in the wilderness, they could have already known that. And guess what? You and I have had the privilege of reading of those events over and over, and we have the privilege of already knowing that. So I say, please pay attention to that privilege, the privilege we have. This affirmation, the proclamation by Jesus to the effect that his messianic ministry was being made possible by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, takes on special significance when you yourself acknowledge that it was in the power of this same Spirit that Jesus Christ intends for all of his disciples. That's you, Christian, to serve in our world today. What I'm saying here is, if we can see how it was that Jesus ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit, perhaps, surely, we will be encouraged to respond as positively and respond as much as we possibly can to the promised and present Holy Spirit that came quite a while ago to dwell in each of our hearts in your own personal conversion experience. As Jesus said, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Then we, as his followers, can say, "The Spirit of the Lord has come to dwell within my heart." That idea was there in one of our scripture texts for this morning, Jesus telling his disciples in John 14:16-17, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And we too should count on it. Count on what Paul wrote to the Christians at Corinth toward the first part of his first letter, 1 Corinthians 3:16. He wrote, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And he repeated that later in the first letter, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he said, "And do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" With all of that, and thinking about that now as you're hearing this Spirit-led message, I believe it is time now for you, for me, for all of us, to look and listen closely to Jesus and hear his relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Well, our main focus for now is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It is helpful for modern-day followers of Jesus Christ to discover how he worked and lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, because this same Holy Spirit is available for us and is eager to enable us as we seek out our own ministries in the name of Christ today. Well, the birth of Jesus was by creative act of involvement on the part of the Holy Spirit. You find that in Matthew 1:20 and in Luke 1:35. In addition to recognizing the miracle of the virginity of Mary, we should acknowledge and identify the work of the Holy Spirit in the miraculous conception. As John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh." After this, we have very little about the earthly life of Jesus and the presence and work of the Holy Spirit in his early life, of course. Luke, the Gospel's best historian, does give us brief glimpses into a couple of Christ's childhood experiences. As an eight-day-old with Simeon and Anna at the Jerusalem temple, and as a 12-year-old back again at the temple and his time of speaking with the teachers there. Well, not much attention is given to the Spirit's involvement, but he, the Spirit, was there at the time of the dedication of the infant Jesus in the temple. Luke 2:26-27 tells of a man named Simeon, of whom the Scripture says, "The Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts." And there, that's the end of that passage, and there he came to the baby Messiah with his parents, just as the Spirit had told him. Anna, too, was there and rejoiced in seeing Jesus. However, with her, there's no mention of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I do not doubt his influence on her. The presence of the Spirit with 12-year-old Jesus at the Passover festival is not a part of that narrative, and Jesus astounding the teachers with his questions and answers But again, I believe he was there in Jesus. Well, we then move on to the adult life of Jesus. Jesus was anointed and identified as the Messiah by the Spirit during his baptism by John the Baptist. John 1, 32 and 33 says, John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. According to the Gospels, Jesus immediately went from his baptism into the Judean wilderness. And there he fasted and prayed for many days and was tested by Satan. Oh, and by the way, you may have noticed that I said tested. You know, when we speak of that 40-day wilderness experience, we usually call it the temptations in the wilderness. That's an incidence where a little knowledge of the translation from Greek to English is helpful. You see, the Greek word there is translated not only as tempted, but also as tested, either one. And I have a personal preference for tested for this wilderness experience, because I don't think of Jesus as being susceptible to temptation. And here's why for me. When I think of tempting, I sort of lean toward the person being tempted, giving some thought to, well, maybe just a very little, but a moment of indecision toward the temptation. Should I or shouldn't I? And I don't think Jesus ever even considered that thought at all. So I think the devil was just working on some tests here, not temptations. Maybe he thought they were. Now, Jesus overcame the tests, or in my way of thinking, he responded to the tests with the presence and counsel of the Holy Spirit. Luke 4, 1 and 2 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit led Christ into confrontation with the evil one. And by Christ's reliance on the Word of God and the assistance of the Holy Spirit, he made Satan's tests, shame on you, Satan, for even suggesting such things of God in the Son. Jesus didn't overcome temptation, didn't pass the tests. Rather, he worked back at him, at Satan, positively, affirming with Satan who God really is. And the Gospels continue throughout them to tell of how the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus worked day by day as Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, and led his listeners to a new understanding of the nature and purpose of God. Now, here's a good example. And I'm quoting, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. That's the gospel writer Matthew in his chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. And he's quoting Isaiah chapter 42. And in his life, all the way to the human end of it, the Holy Spirit was in and with Christ as Jesus offered himself, filled with the Spirit, on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Hebrews 9:14 gives us that insight. It says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Oh, the Holy Spirit was at work in Christ's resurrection. By his resurrection from the dead, he was declared through the Holy Spirit to be the powerful Son of God. As the scriptures say, who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 1:4. I love to read the scriptures and see all that Jesus did, and with what we have just examined, see how instrumental the Holy Spirit's presence in the daily life of Jesus was. And there must be some special significance to seeing how close, how powerful, how helpful the Spirit was to Jesus here on earth. Is there something special I can learn here? Well, we are disciples of Jesus, and how the Spirit dwelt in and worked through Jesus must mean something significant to us. It is. There are remarkable parallels between the ministry of the Holy Spirit with Jesus and the Holy Spirit with believers. By the power of the Holy Spirit, believers are to minister in the name of Christ in all the world. We see that in Acts 1:8. Jesus told the first disciples, and that's passed on to us. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And the Holy Spirit was sent into the world to dwell in the heart of each believer, just as he dwelt in the heart of Jesus, in our hearts, as a divine teacher and guide into the truth about God. That's that John 14:16-18 passage in our today's text. And also in John 14:26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then over in chapter 16 in John, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. With the presence of the indwelling Spirit in the heart of the believer is God's guarantee of his final and complete salvation from the presence of sin when Christ Jesus returns for his own. And this is in Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And Ephesians 1:13-14 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Yes, we read all about Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit with him, but I'm hoping you've listened all the way through and may be amazed at how instrumental the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in your own life today. I don't mean this to be trivial, if it may sound that way, but think about this. What was good for Jesus is good for you too. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ lived and loved and labored in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And modern-day followers of Jesus Christ, like us worshiping today, will utterly fail to be true followers of Christ if we neglect to properly respond to the guidance and power that are present and totally available through the Holy Spirit. Can we all agree to this? Our need to make a response of faith to the presence and purpose of the Holy Spirit? As believers, he has come to dwell in our hearts. Therefore, we need to respond by depending on him to bless both the efforts of our hands and the testimony of our lips as we share the good news of God's love. The Holy Spirit is in the world today, speaking with a tender voice to those who need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He may be speaking through you. Go out and tell the good news in the power and with the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Well, our worship together has almost ended once again. At Bosque Del Baptist, we close our services with a benediction that is the benediction of all gathered. If you know it, say it with me. Our intention for our lives led by the Spirit this week, from Psalm 139 and Psalm 19. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.